Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe. The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Not just the Instigators, but hour number two of the Instigators with Craig Rabe. I'm Brian Duff, in for Andrew Peters on this day. It's becoming clear that I'll only host the show when Elliot Friedman is a guest of such two-hour extravaganza. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you.
You'll be happy to know that my parents were watching your broadcast the other night, and your name came up, and because of your look, my dad was confused because he was sure that you were not on TV, but my mom was trying to tell him that you were, in fact, on TV. So your incognito look is still, you know, working well for you.
So I have a chance to work as, like, to be the next James Bond. That's what you're telling me. Like, I'm good at it. Like, Daniel Craig
to Elliot
Friedman.
That might be a dream job for you.
I like that handoff. Yeah, I like that.
Hey, what's the big take? I mean, honestly, Ribs and I have just spent an hour, and we can't get through everything. Like, there is so – it's such a good feeling. There is so much hockey to digest. But for you, what's the biggest thing – right now that should be top of mind for everybody?
Oh boy, that's a great question. I mean, you know, the one thing we were laughing about last night, Duffer, is that we're, you know, one game away from Lafreniere being an Oiler or a Penguin.
Oh, yeah, and what's the latest? We just found out when phase two is happening, didn't we?
Yeah, Monday night. It's Monday night, yeah. So, like, really think, like, we were talking about this last night. The late show last night off the air was Amber, Berkey, Bieksa, and myself. And we were talking about, like, where's the highest outrage meter on Lafreniere? And we're convinced it's Pittsburgh and Edmonton.
Oh, yeah.
If he ends up in one of, like, Toronto, I don't think people will be thrilled. Rangers, I don't think people will be thrilled. But there's no question that the Penguins and the Oilers are 1 and 1A.
The Penguins are due.
I'm going to tell you this. I think people are going to lose their marbles if Edmonton wins.
Yeah,
How many times did Edmonton have a first overall pick in like 10 years? Didn't they have like five?
Four, I think. Was it four or
four.
Five?
Hall, McDavid, Yakupov, and McDavid. Hall, McDavid, Nugent Hopkins, yes.
Yeah.
McDavid's so good, Duffer, I counted him twice.
He's deserving
and
of that.
And Dreisaitl was what?
Three.
Third?
Three. Behind Sam.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, that was Ekblad, Reinhart, McDavid.
No, Dreisaitl.
Dreisaitl. Yeah, it was Ekblad,
Elliot,
Reinhart,
is there something
Dreisaitl
about McDavid you want to tell us? Because
he's on the brain this morning. Yeah.
Oh man,
Elliot, is there been a surprising team for you? Something that's kind of stuck out? A team that you never thought would be where they're at right now? And what about the biggest disappointment?
Well, Riv, I would say this, that when, like, two of the teams I think that really internally had a lot of difficult conversations were Montreal and Chicago. And I think it's easy to understand why. They were the 12 seeds. Montreal had basically given up on the season. Chicago, like, both the Canadiens and the Blackhawks were only anywhere near the playoffs because, you know, they put the teams to 12 in each conference. Some of the, like, you know, the Blackhawks internally had a lot of debate about whether or not they should even vote to play. So did the Canadiens. And someone who knows the players, they said to me, who works in hockey, he said, I know you like to gamble. Don't put any money down on the Canadiens. I wouldn't bet on the Blackhawks either, he said, but don't put any money on the Canadiens because those guys really didn't want to play. And this was, like, just after the vote happened. So we're talking, you know, before Stage 3 began. And I think the Canadiens were really the last team to show up even for Stage 2, the voluntary one. Like, I think initially they only had about one guy there. Well, other teams like Toronto had, like, 17, 18 guys. So, you know, I talked about that on our podcast a couple of weeks ago, and we were kind of laughing about it. And, you know, Craig, I think what I took for granted there, and I think what, If we've learned anything since the puck dropped on Saturday, it's, first of all, I've been pleasantly surprised at how hard the hockey is. Like, these have been tough games. Like, you, if you're not prepared to play here and you think these games are going to be soft, boy, we've been totally proven wrong. It's been hard hockey. And secondly, I think you forget about the competitive juices of elite-level athletes. And once they say, okay, we're going to play, they're going to play. And I'm Dave Amber was kind of laughing at me now. Like, last night he said, didn't you say you'd never bet on the Canadiens in this? And I said, yeah, we talked about it. But it's always a reminder that when the time comes, guys like Shea Weber, guys like Jonathan Toews, they're coming to play. And they've brought their teams with them, and we kind of forgot about that. And good on those guys.
From yourself personally or the analysts and colleagues that you're working with, is there anything that you guys are noticing that is out of the ordinary, unusual, not up to par? Is there anything that's standing out that way? Because you just talked about it. Like, what we forgot was how competitive these guys are. So in a way, that statement kind of means like we're back to normal from a gameplay standpoint. Is anybody talking about things that aren't quite normal right now?
I think, Duffer, I think what we'd say is probably the penalties.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of power plays. And, you know, if you watched Edmonton-Chicago last night, that game was a penalty fest. And it didn't make some people really happy.
Oh, you mean been a lot.
Yeah, you knew who I was referring to, but I'm sure he's not the only one. Like I really think that the penalties have been a big one. Like, we're used to big games not being called too tight, right? And so this last night's game was a high standard. Like, they were really touching anything. They were calling everything, and that's kind of been the case in most games. Most games have seen a lot of penalty calls. So, you know, I think that's probably what would stand out to me. I mean, we had a game, Pittsburgh-Montreal, game one, with two penalty shots late in the game, one in overtime. Like, that, that doesn't happen. So it's kind of amazing, I think, to me, the way these games have been called.
Do you agree with the calls, though? As much as there's a lot of calls, we're talking... You know, I just find a lot of these calls should be called. There's a lot of hooking going a lot of interference, stuff like that. At least they're consistent, and they've been consistent across the board in all the games, don't you think?
I would say for the most part, yes, Craig, but I didn't like the Edmonton-Chicago game last night. I thought some of those got kind of chintzy. Like, to me, I think I think you have to let players battle. Like, that's what I want to see. I think there should always be the room for an initial battle. I thought last night it went a little overboard.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real tough trend to continue from the official standpoint. I'm more with Rives. I'm enjoying the lesson that is being taught to the players once again, mm-hmm. because I think in past playoffs we've regressed a lot from what the original plan was when we got into the obstruction, you know, new world of obstruction back in 05-06. But regardless, I think the gameplay has been really good. And you talk about the physicality, and we always talk about guys straddling and or crossing the line. What are you hearing on Barkley Goodrow for his hit on Anders Bjork, who was low and vulnerable, no question, when he was hit from the side by Goodrow last night?
I haven't heard anything yet. It was something I was going to send an email about today, and so you mm-hmm. have reminded me to do it. Thank you very much. The one thing is that Tampa doesn't play again until, I think, Sunday. So they have a little bit of time. Like, the one thing I always check is, whenever something like that happens, Brian, I always check the schedule, because it usually tells you how quickly they're going to make a decision. So
right.
because Tampa doesn't play again until Sunday, they have a bit of time. But I was going to send an email about it today. I didn't like it, I will tell you that. You know, I thought that maybe Sam Bennett would face something for the hit against Winnipeg in game number 3, but he hasn't. So I'm not, you know, I'm not 100% as confident on my read as these things, but you've reminded me to send a note about that today.
Elliot, everybody is worried about the players, you know, making sure that the players are comfortable being in the bubble, in the environment. We haven't heard much about what's it like to be in the bubble. How are mm-hmm. they? How have they treated the media members? How have they treated you guys? You know, you're away from your family, just like all the players are. And, you know, how is the bubble? How is the environment there for you?
Well, Rev, I got to correct you. I'm not in the bubble. I'm just going studio and home. We have some people who are in the bubble, but most media are not. The NHL did okay. not want, the NHL wanted to keep as few people in the bubble as possible to risk, to eliminate the risk of exposure. So there's, I think, 3 reporters.
The guys that are in there are play-by-play, you know.
Yes. And like, there's NHL.com, I think there's 3. There's the play-by-play guys and the color guys, but the sideline reporters are not. And, like, the technical crew is. Like, NBC is responsible for staffing the technical crew in Toronto, and we're responsible for staffing the technical crew in Edmonton. So that's what, so we have a bunch of staff who actually they took a private plane for them and sent them there, and they're there. And they don't have much interaction with the players. They're kind of kept away from them. It's pretty strict, like, in terms of where you're allowed to go and where you can go and who's exposed to who. You know, for the first 5 days you were there, once the teams got there, Craig, for the first 5 days you weren't allowed to mingle with other teams. And that was just in case you had someone who was infected on your team. It was kept only to your team and not sent elsewhere. Now there's a bit more mingling allowed, but a couple of players have told me that, you know, they're like, do I really want to mingle as the games become more meaningful? Not so much. I think one team that's going to have an interesting challenge right now is Carolina. You know, they're the first team to go through. They won in a sweep, and now they've probably got a week until they play again. And, you know, I know that they kind of talked about, could we loosen up the bubble a little bit? And I think the answer is pretty much no. Like, there's rules here for a reason, and we can't afford to let down our guard for a second. So, you know, I think, you know, I think what they've done is, you know, I know at a couple of the hotels, one in each city, there were AC problems early on. And someone said to me that the players deserve a lot of credit for not bitching about it and tweeting about it and making a public spectacle of it. So they're making the best with what they've got. But I think now, as some teams start to disappear and the playoff group gets smaller, I think it's going to be much more manageable in there and much more fun. But as you know, it's more business now than it is fun anyway.
Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet is with us here on The Instigators. Brian Duff, Craig Revey, playoffs continuing. Five games today, six yesterday. Some stunning results, some stunning moments within the games, including all the irony, Elliot, the Matt Duchene offside, which negated Nashville's go-ahead goal in the third period, and then Arizona goes on to win 4-1. The rule that came about largely because of Matt Duchene's goal while a member of Colorado, right?
I guarantee he doesn't find it as funny and ironic as the rest of us do.
Oh, what a turning point moment, right? I mean, Darcy Kemper's been so good for Arizona, but that could have really put Nashville on the right track. And now you sit there and you wonder, what is Nashville going to do? Like, what's it going to take for them? What are you seeing in Nashville that still isn't clicking? And is Saros going to be the guy all the way through?
Well, you know, Duffer, I can't blame Nashville for too much yesterday. They had, the first eight shots, and Arizona scored, and it was 12-1. And, you know, it was a 1-1 game when that one was disallowed. But, you know, Arizona, this year, I think Hellebuck's going to win the Vezina from Winnipeg. But there were two guys, I thought, who could have won it who got hurt. And one was Markstrom in Vancouver, and the other was Kemper. And, you know, Kemper couldn't get 100% healthy when Arizona's season started to fall by the wayside. I thought Kemper was not only having a Vezina Trophy season, I thought he was having, a Hart Trophy, an MVP-style season. He was that good and that valuable to the Coyotes. And he's been that guy again. Like, Arizona's been really opportunistic. Whenever they seem to get a good chance, they score. These guys like Hall and Garland, the moment you give them a chance, they seem to do something with it. But the thing I saw from Nashville last night, you know, first of all, the Johansson, Arvidsson, Forsberg line struggled all year, and it's been really good in this series. And if you would have told me that Josi would play as well as he has, and that first line would play as well as it has, I would have thought Nashville would have been okay. But that second line, Duffer, Duchene, Turris, and Granlund, it's just not working. Right. And, you know, when that goal got disallowed, I thought Nashville really sagged. And Arizona took advantage. And, you know, I didn't think Saros was that bad yesterday. Maybe the 3-1 goal, the power play goal, he could have had it from Hall. But I just wonder if you go to Rene just to make the change, just to say, we're going to try something different here. But now you're in a situation where, you know, Rene got a little bit, obviously, of the exhibition game, but he's played, half a game in 5 months, 6 months? What do you think? I was thinking about this for Pittsburgh. Like, you might want to go to Jari now, but he's played half a game in 6 months, and your season's on the line.
That being said, though, you know, these guys, you know, Ekka Rene is a warrior. He's been in the league a long time. Do you not think that he can have one game? I don't care if he's been off for a year. This guy can do something. Either he's going to stink out the joint, or he could do something special and win a game. I think that's kind of where you're at with Nashville. You're looking for the home run.
Yeah, I agree with you, Riv. Like, if you think a guy is good enough, I think Rene's body of work is enough that you say, I'm taking the chance. I'm kind of with you on that. I'm a big believer in it. And I think if you really believe he gives you the best chance to win the game, you put him in the game. My question is it fair? And, you know, my dad always used to say to me, when I used to say to him as a kid, that's not fair, he would always say, Elliot, life's not fair. I think every parent says that to their kids. So maybe it's not fair, but if you think he's the right guy to put in net, you put him in net.
Listen, 100%. The way I look at it, it's not about Saros and being fair. It's about changing something so the team sees it, and there's maybe a spark, maybe Pekka Rinne, that grizzled veteran that has played so well for so many years. Do you not think that Pekka Rinne, his spidey senses are going to be absolutely at its highest, and he is going to want to win that elimination game? I think there's something special could come out of Pekka Rinne if he got put in the net.
I agree with that. I completely agree with you. I think that, like we just talked about it earlier, right? That you underestimate the competitive nature of these guys at your peril. When you're an elite level athlete, no matter what sport, no matter what, you know, if you're male or female, if you're elite level anything, you're competitive and you want the net or the ball or the puck or whatever in the crucial situation. And I'm sure Pekka Rinne is sitting there. It's like you don't want your teammate to do badly, but you want your shot. And I'm with you. Pekka Rinne, he'd want that shot. Tristan Jarry, he'd want that shot. And I just think the one thing that stands in the way is coaches are naturally risk averse, right? And, you know, the other thing, too, with Mike Sullivan, and I've learned this about Mike Sullivan over the years, Matt Murray's won him 2 Stanley Cups. You don't forget that. There's always a benefit of the doubt for that guy. Right or wrong, you have a bias to that guy.
Correct. And the coach in Nashville doesn't have the same relationship with Rinne. Yeah. He certainly understands the history and what Rinne has meant to the organization. Well, we know this. If Rinne does star tomorrow, it once again won't be in prime time as the NHL continues to try to hide the Predators and the Coyotes at 2:30 Eastern time in Game 4 of the series, with Arizona leading 2-1. Friedge, 60, well, make it 30 seconds or less. Is Dallas going to win another game before their season comes to an end? They've lost 9 in a row, all told, going back to February.
Well, since they know they're getting a 4 out of 7, I bet you they win at least one of them.
Okay, I'll take that bet. I don't think they will.
Really?
They can't score. Oh, my gosh.
Well,
they're
it was
hopeless.
Bad the other day.
They're absolutely hopeless.
They were big up on Vegas, and they blew that game late.
Yeah, absolutely. And Vegas and St. Louis should be a lot of fun today. Elliot, great as always. So much fun to catch up. We appreciate the insight and continue to enjoy this, unlike any before, Stanley Cup postseason.
All right, my man. Guys, have a great weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.